The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The first thing I'm going to talk about are phones and phones in schools and teenagers, young teenagers and kids with phones, because the Ombudsman for Children's Office has said that blanket bans on phones in schools are not in the best interest of children. They say they're not an effective way of protecting children's rights from the potential harmful impacts of phones and social media. Richard Hogan is with me, the family psychologist and author of Home is Where the Start Is. Richard, do you agree?
Kieran, how are you? I do not agree.
Why not?
I was looking at the report and it talks about the rights, the children's rights, and every second of every day children's rights online are being denied. The right to privacy, the right not to be tracked or targeted, the right for true and accurate information. I won't bore you with the rights that they have online, but they are being denied. And most important one, the right to be safe and protected from harm. Where has a mobile phone, which is endless internet access, where is that got a place in a child's educational experience going into school? It's designed to distract. It's designed to keep them in flux. It's designed, the whole thing about the phone is designed to keep them going in and going out, to get their attention, to grab their attention, more revenue, more eyes, more revenue. And the Ombudsman is saying, well, look, it's a bit more nuanced than that. And we all know, having kids, you know, and I talk with children every day of the week, and I speak with big groups of teenagers, and I ask them this question: would you rather have the phone or not have the phone in school? And they said, if everybody doesn't have it, I'm on board with that. But if a couple has it, I'm definitely going to have it. And when you say it's more nuanced, you're just saying, you know, off you go. Let's just see how the Hunger Games play out with this phone thing in their lives.
But the report, they go on to say that you need to support children to competently and confidently navigate the digital world.
Yeah, absolutely.
In other words, this is the reality of life, and we've got to equip children to deal with the reality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Vaping is a reality of life too, and smoking is a reality of life. We don't exactly allow them to do that in school either. And so, yes, it is. I have a teenager, Kieran, rattling around upstairs here. I live this thing out clinically, and I work in schools for over 25 years, and I talk with principals all the time at conferences. If you allow the phone into a child's life here in school, yes, it's how they communicate. Yes, it's how they interact today. I'm not saying this out of some anachronistic desire to have a, sure, weren't we all better off in the 80s? I understand watching my daughter and talking and working clinically. This is the new way of communication. I understand that. But they need respite from it too. And school should be a place where they communicate. And I was talking in school there recently, and the principal said to me, and she was actually talking about the Yonder cases, she said to me, it was great to hear the noise back in the canteen. And what she was referring to there is when there was no phone policy, there was no noise. And that is the silencing of adolescents. And that is something we should all fight against, the silencing of our children. We should allow them a space to be free from technology where they can interact and talk to each other and develop those really important skills at this crucial age of maturation and development, where everything in that brain is designed to communicate to each other and to connect to each other. Does a phone help that? It does not help that. It interrupts that. And so the idea that we should have phones in school and out in the classroom, it is absolutely deleterious to a child's development, their learning, their capacity for focus, their attention. All of that stuff is great. I mean, this isn't just me saying it. This is the research. This is really profound research coming out of many fine institutions that say technology disrupts and impacts on concentration and memory.
Eric Nelligan with us as well, the teacher and assistant principal, an A2 spokesperson in education. Eric, do you agree with the Ombudsman, the Ombudsman for Children's Office, that blanket bans are not in the best interest of children? Eric is not with us. We will get Eric.
Eric heard my points and ran.
I think that's Eric's phone ringing. When he answers and we get him back on the line, we will speak to him. Eric is with us. Eric, apologies for that. Gremlins in the system is the explanation we give when we don't really understand what happened. But that's what I'm talking about anyway. Do you agree with the Ombudsman for Children Office that blanket bans on phones are not in the best interest of children?
Hi, sorry, Eric here, and the phone got cut off. Yeah, gremlins in the system. I do. I only caught a little bit of what you were saying there with Richard before I got cut off. But ultimately, I'm dealing with children every day. I'm dealing with teenagers in my classroom. And I'm looking at it from not only the perspective of a teacher, but as for the perspective of of a parent, and there are many, many positives. There are positives to having access to digital devices and to phones, but I'm also cognizant there are negatives. So in our particular school, we operate a no see, no hear, no confiscation policy. But then if they are required to use a device in class, then it's allowed for educational purposes. But the main thing here, and I think this is what the Ombudsman for Children was coming at too, is like phones and communication play such an important part in a young person's life. It's how they communicate with each other. If you're denying children the chance of communication, that they feel excluded, they feel isolated. So it's so important that's there. But I'm not saying that they should be allowed to access it in class free will, but under the proper conditions, a phone has a place and a digital device has a place in a class.
And in what conditions, in what situations might you need a phone in a class?
When parents, like, obviously I'm not like the teacher, as a teacher, use it in class if they want to go and research something, because nowadays with the new use of CBAs coming through, with the new continuous assessment coming through and the Leaving Cert, so much more now is assessment based and project based. The students need to be able to access up-to-date information very, very quick, because that's what it's about now. We have less contact times in class now to teach. So teachers need to get more done in less time, so to speak. And having access to phones and making things digitalized, graphics, communication methods, it all enhances learning, because that is the way the teaching culture is going. As much as people, I'm in my 40s, as much as people might hark back to what education was like when we were in school, we have to be cognizant that the Department of Education is pushing education in a certain way. And that, so teachers need to be able to react to that. So having access to a device in class is necessary at times.
But is that an argument not in favor of some sort of device short of a phone, a device where the school or the teacher controls what other applications are available on it? I mean, because the phone in the pocket, yes, right, it might kind of suit whatever lesson is being held, that the children can quickly access information or look something up. But the phone also has access to Snapchat and everything else.
Yeah, it does. And that's why accessing the phone is generally done under the direction and the supervision of a teacher for a specific period of time when it was needed. I suppose, like, from a parental point of view as well, like, life and school moves in such fluid ways now that to be able to contact your child, as a parent, you want to be able to contact your child. You might be home late. You might need to send them messages. The days of having a child standing outside the school for an hour or two to be picked up are gone. So there is a comfort in parents being able to contact the child after school if it was needed. There's as the advisory group to the Ombudsman says, is like a blanket ban in school doesn't solve a lot of the issues that are out there. So we need to look at more proactive and modern ways of migrating the negative risks, so to speak.
Richard, anything in that, in the value of phones, given the updated nature of the curriculum?
Well, in all due respect, Eric, you know, there's nothing there that influenced me in a way that says, oh yeah, these are an important part of the educational process going forward. The idea of ringing my child in class, what they're going to answer the phone and say, yeah, dad, don't worry, you're not going to be there. Okay, no problem. The idea of supervising the class with 25, 30 students on their phone, they're going to be on their Snapchat, they're going to be on TikTok. And in my experience working in schools, they'll be on pornography. And there'll be a lot of things going on there with their phone that will not be helpful. And so the idea that they need to stay connected all the time to the Snapchat, it's dystopian to me. Children need to learn in an environment that's healthy. We're talking about, like, you know, yes, digital literacy is massively important. That's teaching children how to live with these phones in their lives. But the idea that the phone should be present, there should be other pathways to technological integration with education. No one's talking about going back to the 80s, Eric. I mean, that's not what we're talking about at all. But we're talking about giving our children a space that's free from all the harms of technology, where they can learn and chat and concentrate. The idea that the phone is an important part of that is absolutely just wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Yes, there are other devices that they can use to learn with, but not the phone, because the phone is, it's it's not a, it's just endless internet access. It's not helpful, and it disrupts concentration, it disrupts learning, it disrupts connection. It's no place in the school. And the idea of a blanket ban, I think, helps parents, because it's not this nuanced approach where one child can have it, another child doesn't have it. It's actually just giving parents a little bit of a help here, because it allows them to have one rule that suits all, you know, and that's the way to manage this thing.
And when, Richard, when you say blanket ban, do you mean a blanket ban from owning a phone at all up until a certain point, or just a blanket ban within school hours or on school grounds?
I just think from in school, you know what I mean? Okay. I you know, obviously, Kieran, obviously, you know, going forward, I think the best outcome here is that our children don't get these things, these devices, before 15. But that's a utopian, maybe, and that's maybe idealistic. I live in the real world. My 14-year-old has one, so I live in the real world, and of course, I see it play out in front of my eyes and all the work I've done. So I know that that's not going to happen. But in school, I want her to be in an environment that's free from that, where they get respite. When she comes home, I get respite from it too. She's not on it all the time. And that's really important, Kieran. I talk with kids. I carry out research on this all the time, and I hear them saying it to me, you know, that they need someone to intervene. They need something to happen here to help them. It's too powerful. It's designed by way too powerful psychologists here. The notifications, infinite scrolling, all of that. It's just too powerful to say, look, mind yourself there, go onto your device there, and let's everybody take out their phone and let's look at Michael Collins and the 1916 revolution. They're going to go on to their Snapchat. I mean, they're going to go on and look at things, and they're going to be sending things. And it's just a little bit naive to say, yeah, let's all go on our phone and let's learn together.
Eric, is that naive?
Well, Richard is talking about the extreme negatives of phone use, and he mentioned porn and Snapchat and social media and issues like that. I don't think they're really happening in school. Those concerns are more
valid.
Those concerns are far more likely to happen in the home environment when they're not being watched by parents. So I suppose what we got to be cognizant of here is that the respite in school, what phones do is they allow at an appropriate time under the supervision of a teacher, they're allowed, students can allow to use a device that will allow them improve their education.
Eric, can I just clarify that? Yeah. You don't think kids who have access to phones in schools are looking up inappropriate material?
I'm not saying it's not happening, but I would say it's far, 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 far more likely to be happening in the home environment. So if we're concerned about inappropriate things happening in schools, we should be far more concerned about what's happening outside of schools, at home, in their bedrooms at night, taking phones into rooms, you know, parents not being able to watch what's going on. So I think most of the issues with phones, most of the problems that Richard spoke about, which are very valid, the bulk of those issues happen outside of the classroom.
Yeah, but even if that's true, if the bulk of them happen outside the classroom, even if some are happening in the classroom, does that not behove us, if we can, to stop them happening in the classroom?
Exactly.
Of course it does. But if we're concerned about these things happening, then we go down the route of a full total ban of phones. But to say we're banning phones, to say we're banning certain devices in school, but we're allowing them when they leave the school grounds at 4 o'clock to full access.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
I know, but I'm not weighing in one way or the other, but we got a computer lab in our school, and I left school 24 years ago, and we got a computer lab when I was in transition year. So what's that? 26, 27 years ago? I'd say it wasn't in a week, and we worked out how to look up porn while the teacher, who was a Christian brother, was standing at the front of the room. We could do it. You know what I mean? The idea that kids have much more powerful devices in their pockets and they're not doing it. I find that hard to believe, Eric.
Well, look, there are many, many benefits. There are many, many benefits to having it. But if you're really concerned about the things you've spoken about, the school isn't where 90% of it is happening, or 99% of it. It's happening outside of schools. So what we're doing is you're banning it in probably the safe. We're talking about banning a phone in probably the safest environment for a child, while letting the phone free access outside of that environment. So it's the wrong way around.
Eric Nadigan, teacher, assistant principal, A2 spokesperson in education. Richard Hogan, family psychologist and the author of Home is Where the Start Is. Thank you both very much. I'm gobsmacked by the conversation, says one listener. They don't say why they're gobsmacked, but they are gobsmacked. Eric makes great points and he's realistic. Lots to consider here. As a parent, a blanket ban would be fantastic, says somebody else. This principal is making me pull my hair out with his bizarre logic. Phones are counterproductive to education, says somebody else. And no phones in school, please. A blanket ban is what we need. Let's save these kids.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.